Welcome to the Authentic Man Radio Hour with your host, Les Jensen, helping men discover their truth. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Les Jensen. It's June 22nd, 2011. Tonight's going to be a fun show. It's called Get Your Mojo On. Get Your Mojo On. We're gonna talk about mojo. We're gonna talk about what it is. What attributes do you have when your mojo's flowing? We're gonna look at what your life will look like. What effects it has. And so we're gonna start off with just considering what mojo is. I really got excited about this show kind of unexpectedly when I started thinking about mojo. I like to think of it as the wake you leave when you're living your dream. It's the consequence of following your heart. When you're in that flow, you have mojo. It's like you illuminate yourself. You can think of it as you expressed. It comes really from inside you. It's not something that you add to yourself. It's not something that you acquire. You could go to school or take classes and not really get any closer to it because you already are it. It's not that classes or schools don't help you accomplish it, but the mojo itself is already inside you. It's you expressed. It is what you become when you follow your passions, when you listen to your heart, when you take action with the inspiration that has been given to you. You can kind of think of it as a scale or a spectrum. If you look at society, I don't think people with their mojo on, a really healthy, basking, glowing mojo, really gets that much press. It's almost like the media tends to focus on scandal or people falling from power more than rising to it. It's kind of like the Tiger Woods story. It doesn't matter how many hole-in-ones he made. It's the one time he trips and falls. So when you think about mojo, it's not going to be necessarily something that's commonplace in our dialogue, in our community, in our society. We don't really focus on that very much. I don't think it's really taught very well in a lot of academics. It's the idea that when you're working for a company or you're going to school and there's this kind of collective agreement on what life looks like, or you're following the directives of another, that's not really yourself being expressed, although it doesn't exclude that. For example, you could be a marketing director and go to work and really passionately come up with marketing and promotional material in a very exciting and electric way, and that would be mojo. But mojo has a scale to it, a spectrum. And I want to talk a little bit about hitting the bottom of that spectrum when you're depleted, when you're spent, when you're exhausted. And when I was thinking about this topic tonight, I thought about a time in my life when I was certainly at the bottom. I was kind of washed out. I felt like a tin can getting kicked down a hot, dusty road. And I didn't realize how much I had been beaten up by my circumstances. I had a positive demeanor in my head, but I just didn't realize how far depleted I had gone. And what I'm talking about is there was 2.5 years where I didn't have a job. I wasn't employed. And I kept thinking that I'm going to have this idea and I'm just going to put a little juice to it and it's going to blossom and that'll carry my weight. And I kept thinking that it's all going to turn around any moment now. And that kind of worked for a while, but after a couple of years, I really didn't know how far down the rabbit hole I had gone. I don't know if that's the right expression, but it's like once I got a job again and I started getting paychecks, it took about 8 paychecks to really realize that I had come out of my slump. And I didn't really realize how far down in that slump I went. So part of the show is to help people that have gone through a deep struggle, so loss of job, a divorce, any kind of traumatic life event that has kind of set you on your head and turned your life upside down, and you're trying to turn around and get some traction and some joy and some sense of fulfillment going again. Those types of events can really knock you down. And it really takes a commitment to getting back up all the way, even past your old levels of life. Sometimes I think those big life events are the launch pad for an even grander chapter in your life. So if you've been through a lot of struggle and your heart's heavy and you've spent many days wringing your hands and worrying about what your life's going to look like, I understand that. I know what that feels like. And I hope, it's certainly my intention, that this show, no matter where you are on that spectrum or scale of mojo, this show helps you bring it up a notch, raise your game, get you on your feet, get you soundly on your feet and moving in the direction that brings you happiness and joy in your life. I like to think of mojo like skiing, snow skiing. I'm very fond of skiing and I like this analogy. When you put on snow skis for the first time, you feel like Daffy the Duck. And skis are extremely cumbersome and awkward when you're not moving. When you're not in motion, the snow skis are the most difficult to handle. And I think when the mojo in your life has stopped, it's the most difficult to get it going again. It can when you've gone through a heavy event and you're reeling trying to hold the boat stable, trying to get back on your feet, and nothing's really moving yet. I think that can be a very awkward time. So with skiing, you can imagine resisting the hill. You're leaning back. You're being extremely cautious. You're not doing anything that is challenging. It's just being very careful to move just to the place right in front of you. And when your mojo has slipped away from you, sometimes it's hard to know how to put the pieces back together. It's kind of hard to know how to get excited about life again. When life has been full of struggle, it can seem like it's difficult to have a sense of confidence again, or difficult to trust your ability to make your ideas and inspiration come to life. And so when there's no mojo flowing, when there's no ideas conduiting, moving through you into expression, into fruition, then there's no energy moving, and you don't, your wand doesn't work. It's like the damn batteries are dead. You whack it on the table a few times and try to create something, and it, nothing really happens, and it feels like you've kind of hit a plateau. But mojo is an inherent trait. It's a fundamental aspect of all of us, that there's no way that it can be erased. When you think about your age or your circumstances, it might be easy for you to discount the idea of expanding your mojo. It might be easy to discount the idea that you have a lot of choices available to you right now. But since you're alive and you're listening to this, you're a soul in a human being, and that soul is the source of your mojo. And the soul is ageless and timeless, and so that source of your mojo can't be erased. No matter what the situation you're in, no matter what the conditions are or the dynamics, know that you have within your being everything you need to change your life and create what you want out of your life. So when you're trying to increase your mojo, think of it as a multidimensional aspect of yourself. It's the creative expression of who you are, of the potential of who you are. So you can expand on many different arenas and to get your mojo flowing. If you played a guitar in high school and you haven't touched it again, you could look at joining a band, even if it's just to practice. But the idea of mojo is the inspiration from within your being. Mojo is the effect of it actually flowing through you. And so when you're getting your mojo on, you're reacting and responding to your ideas and your inspiration. You could grow a garden at the community garden lot, even if you don't intend to use the produce. You can go out and create that. It's the idea of increasing your creative flow everywhere that is fun. If you're not having fun, then we're not really talking about mojo. Mojo is it's not about burden. It's about following your passions and your joys. And so when you think about getting your mojo on, you can look at your life in a perspective. It's like take a few steps back and take the full view of your life, who you were when you're a child and adolescent and teenager and young adult, and you go into the world and you can just look at your history and get a notion of things that you've really enjoyed doing and things that perhaps you felt like you had to do and maybe things that weren't very comfortable at all. And so if you're looking to expand your mojo, to get your mojo on, you can look at the core elements of your being that were always there. When I think about my own mojo, I have always been fascinated by the human dynamic. What does it mean to be human? Why do we choose the choices that we do? Why do people consistently make choices that don't honor them? It's like the battered woman that doesn't want to go to the woman's shelter. She wants to go back home to the abuser. Why do we make those choices? Why do people tend to have a very consistent life experience. I remember as a teenager going out to the airport. When I got my driver's license, I could drive the hour to the airport, and I'd just sit and watch people interact. And I was always just kind of fascinated by our human nature. And here it is, years later, perhaps decades later, and I'm on the radio talking about human nature. So you can see, when you step back and you look at your life, you can see common themes in your life. And those are your gifts. Those are your gifts for humanity, for yourself. When you honor those gifts, when you create ideas and activities in your life that bring energy flowing into those gifts that you have, then you're literally in those moments in alignment with the truth of your life. And what do I mean by that? When I talk about bringing yourself into alignment, there's multiple dimensions to our being. There's an emotional dimension, there's a mental dimension, there's a spiritual dimension, of course, a physical dimension. And every one of those has its own signature. And when you go to grow yourself, to expand yourself, everything that's incongruent with your new idea of life comes up in your experience, comes up in your life. And so when you go to get your mojo on, you can experience aspects of yourself that tend to inhibit you from growing. It's perhaps a nervousness about speaking in public, or a nervousness about displaying your art, or a nervousness about composing music that other people will hear. When you go to expand your mojo, you're going to expand who you think you are. And that's always a good thing, because we can't really wrap our noggin around, we can't really put to words, if you will, the total scope of our beingness. One of my favorite poets is Rumi. I believe he's from the 13th century, and he writes all kinds of stuff, but his love poems are quite delightful. And he talks about, he's trying to point a finger at the divine, and it's such a slippery fish that no single sentence, I don't think any sentence or sentences can really define it, because it's beyond words. And so when you think about expanding your mojo, there's really no limit to that. I don't think our planet has seen huge cultures of people living in their truth. I think that's coming around the bend very soon. I think that's part of the changes of this maturity of humanity, if you will. But if you look at our past, a very small percentage of our society really has modeled living your mojo very well. Our schools don't really teach the nature of the creative process. I think if I wrote curriculum for school, I would put honoring the value of an idea, learning to honor the value of what an idea has to offer. Any change that you want to bring into your life starts with an idea. Any expansion of your mojo, that life force energy through your being, starts as an idea in your consciousness. And so if we were to be taught how to live life in a no holds barred kind of way, we would be taught how to do that. But our society likes us in the past to fill a need of the collective. And the way the society is evolving, there's many more people on the planet than we need to sustain ourselves. So there's a lot of extra consciousness available for just the creative process itself. When you think about expanding your mojo, think about expanding the number of arenas that you express yourself in, creating new, completely divergent aspects of yourself. And they might not be as obvious as they seem. For example, if you feel like your heart wants you to talk in public or to speak to groups of people, and that seems awkward for you, you could take creative acting classes at just the local theater where there's no consequence to the outcome. So often, like that time I spent unemployed, everything weighed heavily. Every decision I made had a lot of consequence to it. I was trying to make decisions to turn my life around, and whether my life turned around or not certainly mattered at the time. And so it would be very difficult for me to be lighthearted about it. I kind of lost my ability to keep things in perspective. And by creating multiple arenas of expression or flow, it allows you to practice the art of creation, take an idea and bring it completely into fruition without having a consequence on it. So if you take that acting class or go grow a garden or something like that, always something that brings you joy or that is fun to you, when you choose those choices, it starts that juice to flow within your being, and it so you can expand your mojo without focusing it all on one thing. It's such an American way that says, well, you know, you meet somebody and they say, well, what do you do? I mean, what's your job? Let's get right to the point. What is that thing that you do? And in truth, it should say, how many different ways do you like to express yourself? How do you find your passion? What are you doing when you're following your heart? And that should be multiple sentences. And when you just expand that aspect about yourself, the creativity you use in one arena is flexing and strengthening that creative muscle to use in other arenas of your life. So you already have the mojo itself. It's just learning to conduit it through your being, learning to honor the idea when it comes up in your mind. So that kind of describes, from my perspective, the nature of mojo. What mojo is, it's that creative flow of ideas, that excitement of I've taken an idea and brought it into my life, and I've done it again, and I've done it again. And now I trust myself that when I have an idea, it's going to happen. And now I'm having really good ideas, and I'm excited to see the consequence of them happening in my life. And when I actually get to the point of being excited about what I'm creating, I'm being excited about what I'm creating, then I'm radiant. I'm beaming, I'm glowing with charisma, with mojo, with that passionate juice. And you know, going back to the skiing analogy, so oftentimes when people learn how to ski, they start off with a snow plow and they go back and forth and learn to turn and stop. And once they trust that they can turn and stop, they perhaps go to a little steeper hill. And oftentimes they'll find a level of skiing that they're comfortable with and they'll stop there. and there's nothing wrong with that in the skiing analogy, but with the expression of ourselves in our life, there really is no limit. There's no way possible for you to express your total potential. And so when you think that that well can't really ever be depleted or even taxed or weakened, that it's a self-sustaining flow of ideas, then you learn how to get excited about what you're capable of. It's once you start to see yourself expand and you create new arenas of expression and watch how you actually experience life start shifting, then you get this feeling of being the creator of your life even more. When your life is static, it's hard to see any kind of an effect. When your life is static, it's hard to feel any kind of confidence. When your life is static, you put down the big ideas and try to create just any step. And when you start postponing the big ideas, then the flow of mojo starts to slow. And you can really kind of get in a funk with this. Sometimes there's an aspect of life called the void, and it's an inherent part of being human. You can think of the void as kind of a space you go into when your life purpose changes dramatically. Maybe you've finished raising your kids, or you've just got out of college, or there's some pivotal point in your life and what you were doing no longer applies and you've got a different life path. What'll happen is you'll slip into this void, and that's healthy and intentional. But when you do that, you get this sense that you're disconnected from life. It's like nothing works. It's like and it can seem unsettling because your life loses definition. And sometimes when you slip into that void, you can get stuck there because the old ways of working doesn't translate into your current life. It's like the metamorphosis of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. The caterpillar mindset doesn't work. You don't see butterflies walking to the store. You don't see butterflies walking up the leaves of a plant. The caterpillar's thinking doesn't work in the new paradigm. And so when you look at your life, and if you feel like you've kind of disconnected from your past, what you've done in the past, and you feel like your life is shifting into a new purpose or a new arena, that is the space of the void. And it typically runs about a month or two, but if you get stuck there, it can go much longer, and it's really, there's no value to it after a couple of months. So I spend that time talking about what happens when your mojo stops, because I know there's a lot of people in this culture today that has really had some really big struggles in their life, who've had really big shifts in what their life looks like. And a lot of them aren't people aren't quite sure how to put it back together in the new paradigm of their life. So the show is this particular show about mojo was a very exciting thing for me to work on. And so when I talk about mojo, I talk about just the flow of life through us. So let's let's shift gears a little bit and look at what attributes that you have when your mojo is flowing. What attributes do you have when your life is working, when you're able to create and to take the value of the ideas that your heart and your soul is feeding you and translate them into your life? Well, a lot of the side effects, if you will, of being on a spiritual journey or of spirituality itself translate directly to mojo, because having our mojo on is a natural state of being. That's a very natural attribute of a healthy human. You can think of aspects of spirituality like mindfulness, an attitude of service to others, being truly happy with your life, being healthy, making choices that honor your body, and having a balance between being proactive and being restful. It's kind of like your heart. Your heart can beat for your entire life because it completely relaxes between every beat. And by completely relaxing, it allows it to completely work in that next beat, and then it completely relaxes. And since it goes from completely engaged to completely relaxed, there's a balance between the two. And that allows it to run for your whole life. If your heart doesn't have the ability to relax because you're stressed or worried, then that balance is thrown off, and then you start to have cardiac problems. And mojo's the same way. You can get out of balance and lose your mojo by being too proactive, too active, and disconnected from your imagination, or you can be off balance by staying in your imagination and not taking any of those ideas into fruition. So you can think of a sense of balance as an attribute that helps you bring your mojo out. On one side of the coin is the ideas themselves, and so many people stay in the idea state. I know when I first wrote my book, it took me years. It was in my head as an idea, and I didn't know how to translate that into action. And then once I learned the action part, the creative part, and a book came out, and then another book came out, and I'm feeling more books percolating in there. And so having a balance in your life is very important to, it's a very critical aspect or an attribute that you have when your mojo's flowing. A sense of excitement about life, a sense that you have the ability to create in your life, that you are the creator and you know that and you trust that. You're in the process of creation often. The creative process is kind of like an electrical circuit. And when the circuit is complete, then the energy can flow. When the light switch is turned on, the light can light up because there's a place for the energy to go. When you think about the flow of energy, if that flow is blocked, then everything associated with that energy is blocked too. So if you're given ideas about your life and you haven't taken them into action, well, the energy stops. You're not going to get more ideas. You're not going to get bigger ideas, per se. I mean, you can always start over. You can always wipe the slate clean. But when you get an inspiration, it's the next step for your life. And when you take that idea completely into action into your life, then you've completed the circuit and a new idea is appropriate. But if you're given several ideas and you don't bring them through to fruition completely into your life, then the circuit hasn't been completed yet and you're not going to get broader and bigger ideas. But once you start honoring your ideas and quickly translating them into action, then you get that flow going where the next idea comes and the next idea comes. And you start turning ideas over quickly, that's when your wand starts working. That's when you have a sense of power and control in your life. And so you can look at it as completing the intention of your soul giving you an idea. Your soul gives you this idea as an intention for your life to grow and expand, and you honor that idea and bring it into your life, then you've created the creative, you've completed the creative process. You've literally been the creator in the universe. There's no difference in mind between the creation of your ideas and the original idea where the universe was created. It's exactly the same process, and it's here for you to tap as much and as often as you would like. In the process of following your mojo, your vibration rises. Sometimes you get little wisps of what your life can look like down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road. And it seems like a dream almost. But what happens is when you follow your mojo, when you follow the inspiration of your heart and your soul, you invariably increase your frequency or your vibration. Your soul wants to conduit love through you, and love is power. When you honor that and follow that, invariably, the vibration of your being rises, and when the vibration of your being rises, the vibration of your inspiration rises too. An example of that is Einstein's quote that the level of thinking that created the problem won't be the level of thinking that solves the problem. You have to change your thinking to get a different result. And so when you're in your life and you're looking to expand your life, your vibration will go up as a result of that desire or intention to honor who you are and what's intended for your life to be. And when your vibration goes up, your inspiration goes up. And so that's when you start getting into these arenas of thought that really have no limits. Your heart and your soul feed you bigger and bigger ideas. To look at some of those attributes that we've talked about and to expound on them a little bit more, mindfulness is a very good way to increase your mojo. When you get an idea, oftentimes the very next thought is an excellent reflection of yourself. It shows you your relationship to the original thought. So your soul feeds you an idea of how you can make a difference, how you can take your potential and bring it into your life. And the very next thought that you have is a reflection of who you see yourself to be in relationship to the idea itself. So your soul gives you an idea, why don't you start a school that's got a completely different structure than schools of the past? And it really honors the student or the child's. It really honors their potential, and you You teach them how to be creators of their life. And the very next thought that you have is, well, I can't do that. I don't have the money. Or I can't do that. I have no experience with school. Or I can't do that because it doesn't matter what the because is. It doesn't matter what that second sentence is. You've already disconnected from thinking that that first thought is your natural divine right, is the purpose of your being here now, is the reason why you're breathing. And when you honor that, a real sense of power comes into your life. And it's like we haven't been taught how to be powerful. And so mindfulness is a really powerful way to become cognitively aware of the thoughts that don't honor your expansion, your growth, your passionate pursuit of your potential, the joyful ideas your heart gives you. When you become mindful, you catch yourself thinking when you're having those incongruent thoughts. Well, I'm not really sure what my relationship to my peers will be if I do that. I'm not really sure what my relationship to my siblings or my neighbors. When you go to follow your mojo, you become a powerful person. If you really choose to honor that and you practice and you learn to trust the ideas of your heart and you just follow them over and over again, pretty soon the pacing picks up and it becomes almost subconscious. It's like learning to ski good. Pretty soon you quit focusing on your skis and you look around and start enjoying the mountainside as you ski. And the same thing applies to the creative process in life. When your mojo isn't flowing very well, it's like you're holding the blocks of a puzzle and you're trying to put them together in some sort of meaningful way so you can fire for effect, so you can have an impact on your life and change the condition of your life into something more suitable and rewarding and nurturing for yourself. And once you start following those inspirations and taking actions and striking that balance and bringing it into fruition, then there's a kind of a quickening that happens. And it gets very exciting. It's like there's this endless sea of possibilities in your being, and the more you open up to them, the more of them that you can see, and the more of them that you can see, the more potential you feel like you have, and the more creative and aggressive you get with pursuing them. Again, you always stay in that joy, you always stay in the happiness, you stay in what feels good. This isn't a burden. This isn't a struggle. Your mojo is when you're following who you are. And so that can be a really powerful place to be when you turn that on. A lot of people around you will feel like you've changed or what's got into you. Oftentimes they'll talk you down because you intimidate them. You might scare them a little bit, you know. You don't want to get too big for your britches now. Who do you think you are? What else are you going to be doing? It's like it's impossible keeping up with you. So you kind of need to be okay with letting go of what your life looked like it's like before I went through that challenging part of my life, I kind of had a pretty even keel for decades of my life. I worked in broadcast television, and my life looked a very particular way. And I went through that 2.5 years, and I'm a different person. There's no way in hell I'm going to settle for this plateau or this even killed aspect of who I am. I want to know what I'm really capable of. I want to stretch my wings. I want to flap them. I want to start flying. I mean, what the hell? If I have infinite potentiality within my being, whoopee shit. I mean, there's no value to it unless I can translate it into my life. And I want value. I want purpose. I want power. I want passion. I deserve that. That's like bare minimum for humanity. And I accept that for myself. And when I come to that space of wanting to know my potential, and I get excited about following my ideas, and I get excited about taking action in my life, man, it's, I feel so invigorated just knowing that. And no matter what the headlines read, it's like you get this sense of resiliency in you that no matter what happens, it's not going to sway you from your intended purpose or your intention of following your passion and the power of your heart. So, like I was saying in the beginning, the idea of your mojo being the wake that you leave just living your life, it's the consequence of you just being you. There's no, I don't know, simpler way that I can think of. It's your natural nature expressed. So for the last aspect of this, like we were talking about in the beginning, what would your life look like? What would your life look like? What would be different about your life that would get you excited, that would give you an idea of what's really possible? I mean, hell, you're going to be here either way. You can either do that repetitive pattern that you've done for a long time that seems to work and the bills get paid, or maybe they don't. And it's kind of like treading water or actually swimming, or in that skiing analogy. So you learn how to ski and you get to the point where if you stay in a semi snowplow, you can go down the Blue Hills that's not really it. That's not surrendering to your potential, surrendering to your flow. If it's like skis start to perform when you lean forward, when you shift your weight forward and put the weight in front of you on your skis, that's when your skis have the highest performance possible. You're leaning into the hill. You're leaning into the slope. And when you do that, the skis become very responsive, and it's very easy to turn. You quit exerting effort. You quit trying to force your skis into a particular way, and you go from a snowplow move, which is kind of a perpetual brake, having the brake on all the time. You go from the cautious move into this, I can handle it move. I'm going to lean forward on my skis, and I'm going to go down this hill, and I'm going to go through the trees. It's going to be really cool. I can't wait to see what's around the bend. So what would your life look like if you were to expand your mojo? You'd be following your heart. You'd be following the flow of ideas. You would follow the flow of ideas with actions that brings them into fruition. So often people get stuck in the idea arena. They have this idea in their head. They're going to make solar panels, or they're going to make zero-point energy, or a new way to teach kids or something like that. And the truth of that idea, the truth of that inspiration, might ultimately be at a vibration that's considerably different than where you're at now. The the big cheese, the big idea that you have for your life, and there's probably more than one, might be at a vibration that you're not resonating with right now. And if you try to bring that into fruition and you're not in resonance with the idea of it, it's not going to happen. I think that's kind of where I got stuck in trying to reprogram my life on the fly, is I thought it was just going to come about, but looking back in hindsight, I wasn't anywhere near the resonant vibration, the core vibration of what that idea looked like. But I've since learned that to get me there, to get me to the vibration of me living my life purpose, is to just follow the inspiration of this moment, to follow the inspiration of this day. And when I do that, then I have a sense of power in my life. So what would your life look like? You're following that inspiration of your heart. You're following the inspiration of your soul. And you're following it with action. You stay balanced between your ideas and actions. All ideas, no actions, zero gain. All actions, no new ideas, both of those are stuck. It's when you have ideas and actions. All of one and none of the other is stuck. You can get lost in the action and be a busy bee and not honor new inspiration. And you can get lost in the ideas where you have all these grandeur ideas, but there's nothing changing about your vibration. And so you're not moving anywhere towards alignment with these ideas. So keeping yourself balanced is very important. What would your life look like? You'd be in balance. And just practice that. Taking the idea into fruition. Taking the idea into action. If that seems cumbersome or awkward with the ideas that are in your head now, maybe you're trying to get big ideas to happen. Try the principle out in some other arena of your life where there is no consequence. Try the creative process of an idea into fruition. Have an idea of something you can make or do on a Saturday morning and do it that day and complete the whole cycle within that day, or grow an aspect of yourself that you might have let go of in your past. What would your life look like? Chances are you'd be willing to help others. When your heart and your soul has ideas, it's about impact. It's about making a change, making a difference in the world. And so a willingness to help others. What would your life look like? You would have forgiven yourself of anything that has happened in your past. Every time you blame yourself, you collapse arenas of choices. Every time you blame yourself for something you didn't do in the past, you disconnect from the future. Every time you blame yourself, your energy drops, moves you farther away from your inspiration. Also loving yourself. Who are you to be powerful? Do you think our planet needs powerful people right now? Do you think our planet would benefit from the ideas in your head? Do you think our planet would be honored to have passionate, joyful people walking around like yourself? When you love yourself, you honor yourself. You honor the talents that you came here with. When you love yourself, you forgive yourself. When you love yourself, you raise your vibration. You choose those things that grow yourself. Believing in yourself. What would your life look like? You would believe in yourself. And believing in yourself comes from experience of the manifestation process. When you start to complete these cycles of ideas into actions into results, then you start to trust your ability to create. And when you trust your ability to create, then your wand starts working. You start to know that the ideas that your heart and soul are feeding you have power and purpose to them. Your heart and your soul is a very powerful combination. What would your life look like if you were to follow your mojo? You would erase the notion of limits. You would erase the notion that this well of inspiration within you has any sense of bottom or end, or even honoring the idea that it can expand. The power and the volume of ideas and actions that you take can expand. It intrudes your soul having a human experience. Your soul sees your life on this huge timeline from beginning to end and beyond. Your soul understands the nature and the paradigm of humanity itself. And it knows exactly the kinds of ideas it can feed you that will make you feel joyful and fulfilled and happy with a sense of accomplishment in our life. People who are depressed have no sense of connection, no sense of accomplishment in their life. And people who feel joyful and ecstatic and excited and truly, genuinely happy about life are engaged in the process of living life. So it's really a powerful aspect of yourself to consider yourself as a conduit, a river of mojo. I tell you, when I was working with what the show was going to look like tonight, I don't know, there's just something about it that just felt, it felt good, it felt really good. I think perhaps because mojo is a relatively undefined term, I mean, there's not real definitive definitions in it, it's kind of this loose idea that we have in our culture. It gave me the freedom to really kind of expand the perspective of it, and it made the show just delightful to write, and I feel very, very comfortable and very passionate about sharing this material with you, because I know you're a human being having a human experience. And I know there's a river of inspiration in you that cannot be depleted. It cannot be exhausted. And I know no matter what your age, no matter what your circumstances are, there's even more life to be expressed through you as you, as an infinite being, as a soul having a human experience. And I get excited to think that I was able to influence that. At any level, I'm good to help. Whether it be a huge level or a little level, I'll take either one. I'm not worried about the effect of me following my heart, because I know I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm honoring who I am. I feel a genuine sense of gratitude that I can be here to share this time with you. Your magnificence, your divinity is always there waiting for you. It's held in escrow. It can never be erased. It's the grandeur of your life is endlessly looking to express through you as you. So everything that has been in your dreams in the past, no matter how big and grandiose, is the truth of who you are, of who your potential is. Get excited about your life. Trust that the ideas your heart and your soul feed you is exactly how your life was intended to unfold, and honor that with the actions and the choices that bring about those ideas coming into inspiration. Well, that kind of wraps up the topic of mojo, the essence of you living your life, getting your mojo on. I hope you choose to really let this percolate in you and grow and expand. Well, I want to mention before I close about the Lesson Jody show tomorrow night. It's on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and you can go to lessonjody.com to get more information. I'm glad you listened to this episode. I'm glad you're making the choices that expand who you are, that you're putting the effort out and the intention out of growing yourself, listening to shows like this that bring new ideas and new choices into your life. I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, wish you the most happy, fulfilling life possible. I think the planet should be full of people like that, and you're the perfect person to do just that. Thank you, and have a good evening. This has been the Authentic Man Radio Show. For more information, go to www.authenticman.org. Join us next time. Goodbye.